Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I enjoyed the conversation from our last guest. I didn't tell him everything that I didn't like about the idea of refiguring the Mag Mile because, A, if he had a magic wand and limitless resources and can do it in a reasonable amount of time, let's fix the joint up. If you can get over Lakeshore Drive more easily and integrate the north end of Lakeshore Drive. You know, it's funny, he was describing the south end of Lakeshore Drive, of the Mag Mile, as done right. The Apple Anchor store, the Tribune Tower has been turned into lovely condominiums. They haven't figured out what to do with the retail space around there, but they will. And then you've got the Wrigley Building, and that's fairly thriving. There's a great Malnati's there. And then you can step down either to a water taxi or to the Apple store. And just over the bridge, you get onto the Riverwalk. So the south end of the Mag Mile is very user-friendly. It's vibrant. A lot of people standing around taking pictures. There's a plaza in front of the Wrigley Building, a large cement area reminiscent of some of the places you would see in Europe. And there's almost always street performers doing some kind of music or some sort of performance, and people are pausing and taking it in. That's the south end. But when you go north towards Water Tower Place and John Hancock Building, well, it's less user-friendly. It always has been. But people used to come downtown and sort of shop there or stay at the nice hotels there anyway. So maybe it had its own draws. Perhaps less so these days. And so, you know, give me what you got. But none of that's going to work. None of that's going to happen until people believe that it is safe to come downtown. And a lot of texts about all of that here. Hey, John, we used to go to Michigan Avenue and Grant Park and the lake for much of the spring, summer, and fall. The park is closed now for setup, event, and breakdown. Yeah, they are tearing down the NASCAR street race right now over there, and it's not very pretty or usable, Grant Park currently. And it's been that way for a couple weeks. The loss of the park for citizens has been huge, weekdays and weekends. It would add to the Michigan Avenue experience, as it was such a Chicago experience. Thank you. That is, keep the park open. And somebody else just sent this. I won't read them all, but I'll just read one other. And it says, hey, John, I'm a lifelong City of Chicago resident because I have been sensitized by the never-ending news reports of violence creeping into my neighborhood. I do the following. As I roll up to a red light, I slow down about 30 yards from the light while looking for potential carjackers. I avoid actually stopping to prevent being an easy target. I do that sometimes too, depending on where and when I am. If I go down to Wintrust Arena over by McCormick Place to see a DePaul game, and I go to a lot of games, I do that, especially when we're leaving and it's later at night. That's smart. It's too bad, but it works. It's 11:39. Eric Zorn's the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of this on the podcast this week, The Mincing Rascals. Hi, Eric.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We just got done talking to this guy, Benji Ward, who was talking about how to redesign the Mag Mile. And it's at the same time that the mayor is responding to over 100 people shot, 19 of them fatally this weekend. Interesting juxtaposition of two stories, right?
I guess. I haven't seen a map as to where all that violence took place. I don't expect much of it was on the Mag Mile.
Right.
It seems to me that the Mag Mile problem is that retail is just in decline in general. There's so much online shopping, and then you don't have as many people who are downtown every day for work because there's so much more remote working,
yep,
working from home.
Yep.
So they really do have to rethink those areas in terms of maybe, you know, better dining, more entertainment options, and so on. It's a big challenge. I think that anyone who glibly assumes that we can just put in a few stores or add a few restaurants or something is going to fix the Mag Miles is fooling themselves.
Well, and I don't know that they are being glib about it, but I take your point completely. I think that, A, the economics of that kind of a shopping district are just different now and may never go back to what they were. And you're also right that the violence that we talk about in the city is not on the Mag Mile. Every now and then there'll be a smash and grab there. Something unfortunate happens. But of the 100 people who were shot in the city over the weekend, 4 days, I'll bet you 90 of them were in very predictable neighborhoods where tourists don't go, where suburbanites don't go. But that doesn't change the fact that the news of that colors people's perception.
Right. As you know, you live in the city sometimes as well, that there are neighborhoods like yours, like mine, that are relatively safe. They're not perfectly safe, but they're not scary. I've lived in the Albany Park neighborhood for more than 30 years now, and I feel very safe in my neighborhood at all times. And maybe that's a bit of an illusion, but there are certainly neighborhoods where that's not true. And certainly I can resonate with Mayor Johnson's outrage and concern over this problem. I think that's very well placed, his concerns about that, and they have to get that under control. But let's not act like Chicago is the Wild West, or there's no place safe, or that it's unsafe to be downtown. It is safe to be downtown, for the most part. Obviously, you can't be perfectly safe, but I think a lot of these reports tend to conflate everything, put everything together. And there are certainly areas of the city where it's not safe. And there's certainly things that the city needs to be doing, the police need to be doing to crack down on that, and in those neighborhoods and also on public transit.
Well, so after a shooting like this, and it would be like every Monday, there's the mayor and the chief of police, the superintendent, and they say there, this is an outrage, it's got to stop. Lori Lightfoot did it, Rahm Emanuel did it. That's just what we do in Chicago. Maybe they do that in other big cities as well. Does Philadelphia do this? The song and dance we do every Monday or Tuesday, I don't know, but that's just the way it is. And then people have been criticizing in the Tribune and online to me today saying, oh, sure, Mayor Johnson shows up after the fact, but what's he doing about the problem? I don't think that's a fair criticism. There's a lot of things I don't think Mayor Johnson does well, but I think if he had the solution to this, we would 100 people still would have been shot over the weekend. I don't think there's a switch that he's refusing to throw. Do you have any idea what the mayor should be doing about this?
Well, I don't have any great ideas. I do think that increased police presence in the neighborhoods where this is a problem is certainly one answer. People complain about over-policing, but I think you need to ask the residents of these neighborhoods how they feel about extra police protection, extra police presence in their neighborhoods. I don't think too many of them would complain about over-policing if it meant that they could sit on their front porches safely and so on. Obviously, Mayor Johnson has some long-term ways to address the crime problem, and those involve housing and education and job training and employment opportunities and so on. Those are all really valid. But I think, those aren't going to kick in 2 months. And we've also got the convention coming up, which is going to divert a lot of police resources to the United Center area and to downtown where they're going to be protests. And this may result in some very difficult, challenging weekends in some of these violence-plagued neighborhoods.
That's why I think this came up on our Mincing Rascals podcast. Marge, who lives in the area that is most affected by the NASCAR street race, said, just don't have it here on the 4th of July. And really, if you just said, pick a weekend where violence will most likely erupt in Chicago any year, you would say the 4th of July. And it's predictable. And here we were again. Meanwhile, you've got the street race going on, which diverts police resources. I would drop that event and put it someplace else. I don't know if and the mayor hasn't spoken out about if that's possible, if that's on his agenda. But wouldn't it make it easier for us to navigate the city for that all important weekend if it did not include NASCAR? You think that's a possibility?
I think you make a good point. And I watched some of the NASCAR race on TV, and it looked very cool, I have to say, being able to see the city in that light and watch those cars go that fast through downtown is pretty amazing. On the other hand, I also saw reports about how few people showed up at the concerts. They had these, the Black Keys and other Keith Urban playing, and hardly anybody showed up for those concerts. And I've also heard from Marge and other people about all the disruptions that the race causes downtown. I'm not sure it's worth it. I would still like to see the bottom line reports.
Yeah.
And when they come out and they've done it for 2 years. I think they've got one more year left on the contract.
Right.
And I guess my sense is that there's not a lot of sentiment for resuming that contract.
But I wonder how much NASCAR wants to come back here, too, in that the course really, the drivers all say, hey, it's fun being here in the city and driving around in skyscrapers. But mostly they don't get to drive that much. It's yellow flags. It's crashes. It's been rain 2 days in a row, 2 years in a row, and nobody can control that. There's no fault there. But I just wonder if NASCAR thinks, it's not worth it. Nobody seems to be making a fortune off of this thing either, and that certainly includes Chicago. Let's pause here, Eric. I want to come back. You have in your Picayune Sentinel, Joe won't go, rut-row. Nice. Hey, John Williams, please stop with this desire to have more police in the neighborhoods. The department is down almost 3,000 cops in the last decade. Days off were canceled for Pride, 4th of July, NASCAR, the DNC. Half the department has not had a day off since June 27th. Boy, if that's true, that's remarkable. Today is July 9th. That would make it 9 plus 3 be a 12 straight days without a day off. I guess that's not unprecedented in the summer. Hello, John. You are 100% correct. Perception is reality, and it'll take many years for Chicago to be perceived as safe. Although, one last question about that. We're talking to Eric Zorn, publisher of a newsletter in Chicago called the Picayune Sentinel. I wonder if Chicago was perceived as safe in 1979. We had more shootings in some of those summers than we do now. Don't I? Isn't that right, Eric?
I think it was the 90s was when the 90s. Shootings and crime really went up. Yeah, no, I don't know that Chicago was ever considered safe. There was the time when people were calling it Beirut by the lake and so on. So, no, it's, and I don't know what the actual national perspective is on Chicago, but you have to look at what suburbanites are thinking about. I wanted to circle back to that point that the person made about police needing more time off. I think that's totally true. I think you run the risk of burning out officers who are on the force and not making the job all that inviting for prospective officers who you want to try to hire and train. So, basically they need to hire more police officers and they need to deploy them in more effective ways. And again, this is something that I'm not an expert on, but it's pretty clear to me that police presence does help deter crime, and that if there's any short-term solution, that's where it has to come from. Now, it's hard to get new officers onto the force quickly. You have to go through the academy and so on, but I don't see any short-term address of this problem except redeploying officers that are working.
Maybe that explains the expression on a lot of the cops' faces when you see them sitting in an SUV or walking a beat or out and about. They don't seem to be smiling a lot. And that's anecdotal, I know, but judging by their expressions, it doesn't look that often like a fun job or one that they seem to even be enjoying at that moment. I would hope that the sort of satisfaction you get from honoring and, serving the people is plenty, but you just don't always see that on the face of the cops here in Chicago, do you?
Well, it's a very difficult job, and the summer makes it a lot more difficult, and not being able to take any time off with your family adds to that difficulty. I certainly understand that.
Yeah. Well, the Mincing Rascals will talk about this and other topics when we record tomorrow. You are still on Joe, don't run, but it sure seems like Joe Biden is not going to gracefully exit, as the Tribune put it today, from his candidacy, is he?
Yeah, I was thinking that he was saying that he was going to stay in the race certainly as a tactical move. It's like when a candidate declares that he or she's going to run for office, they always are saying they're thinking about it or they're hesitating until they do. And when a politician resigns, they say they're not going to do it until the moment they do. His defiance ratcheted up quite a bit yesterday, I thought, with that letter to Congress, that appearance on Morning Joe, that he seems like his heels are really dug in. He's very angry about the reports.
Well, would you take him up on it? Bring it. He said, if you want to have an open convention, let's do it. Somebody else run for president. Let's go. That's essentially what he said.
I think it would be very – I think it'd be very interesting if he released his delegates, because right now, he can say that, you can challenge me, but he owns the delegates that he won in the primaries, so that he will win any ballot contest because those delegates are pledged to him. If he releases them, I think that would be an interesting
tactic. Do you know how that works then? So if he releases his delegates, that is, these individual human beings who are the pledged delegates, who represent the voters, if he releases them, then one of them is J.B. Pritzker. Would it be up to J.B. to personally decide who to nominate for the presidency? Would that be his decision?
Among all the, I think the 1,400 delegates,
sure, yeah,
among,
yeah.
They would each be left to their own
devices, whatever they are.
Decision.
Right. So he could say, well, I know, then I'm still going to go with JB, with Joe Biden, or JB Pritzker could say, I like Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, it would be that individual and the rest of their decisions collectively added up, right?
Right. And they would probably go many ballots deep into the convention and to find out who the nominee is going to be, because there are certainly, you know, at least five or six plausible candidates who would be interested in running. Gretchen Whitmer said just the other day, maybe today or yesterday, that she's not going to run. But again, this is what you would say anyway.
Yes.
And this is why I'm a little suspicious of what of congressmen and senators who were saying, we're still with Joe Biden. I think a lot of them are waiting to see what the other ones are going to do, because they're afraid.
Gretchen Whitmer just released a book, which is what you always do, called True Gretch. And in that book, she never shot a dog. So she's looking like maybe she's ready to run. Just wondering.
I'm impressed with what I've heard from her. And what I've been saying, what my issue today, the Picayune Sentinel today, I take the seven best arguments for Biden staying in the race, and I explain why each of them fail. Why it's, I mean, we all saw what happened during that debate. And many of us saw that strange conversation with George Stephanopoulos on Friday night. And neither of those, especially the debate, but even the appearance of Stephanopoulos, did not give me confidence that Joe Biden can be president 4.5 years from now.
All right, I'm out of time. The conversation will continue with the Mincing Rascals. I'm not cutting you off, Eric, but I'm cutting you off just because we're out of time. Fair enough?
It's your job to cut me off, man.
Well, you have plenty of time when we record the Mincing Rascals podcast, and that'll drop tomorrow afternoon. You can read Eric Zorn's newsletter called The Picayune Sentinel by emailing Eric Zorn at gmail.com. He'll send it to you for free. You can pay a little bit and get a premium issue.